Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon.
Can we thank our worship team for leading us so well this morning? Good night. That was, that's good stuff. I think we could pray and go home, right? Well, I just want to say good morning and thank you guys for being here today. My name is Bobby, and if I haven't got to meet you yet, I would love that opportunity. I want you to know that whether this is your first time in a long time, or you come every week, your presence matters. It's a really big deal to me and to our team. We're so grateful that you're here today. If you're new, we would love to have you as a part of our family. We do have some crazy aunts and crazy uncles, okay? So just putting it out there so you know what you're getting yourself into. But we love Jesus, and that's what we're all about here at City Hope. I'm thankful this morning we got some of our college students home. Excited for them to be back, and we got our students are. Man, my girls, every day this week, I felt like they had tests and assignments. I got all these tests. School's kind of winding down, and homework and assignments. Anybody in here, like when you were in school, for some of you, moms, dads, grandmas, and grandpas, like you loved homework. Anybody in here love homework? Anybody love an assignment? All right? Good. I'm so thankful, because I was going to make fun of you if you raised your hand. I don't think anybody loves assignments, but I will say this. Sometimes when I get ready to preach, I get real excited because I feel like God's given me assignment. He's given me a word to share, and I felt like that this week. And we're going into this new series, and I really believe my assignment today is it's kind of twofold, but it's kind of in the same lane. I want to encourage you this morning. I want you to walk out of here encouraged and have joy and be able to celebrate who God is and what he's done. But I also think that my assignment is to challenge you in your walk with God. Like, God doesn't want us just to sit still and always be the same the every day. We want to grow, and we want to get better, and we want to see how he wants to use us. So my assignment today is to challenge you with God's word, but also to encourage you with God's word. Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he wrote a letter to the church in Rome, he said this. Look at this, what he encouraged the church. He says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you believe, so that you would overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Like, man, I want you to have joy and hope and peace and love and all that God is, so that you overflow, so that your life, when you leave this place, when you get done reading this letter, that you are encouraged. And I really believe this. I think it's totally impossible for you to have what Paul's saying, the joy, the hope, the peace of Jesus. I think it's impossible for you to have that and always be a negative person, right? I just don't think you can do that. Now, everybody has bad days, right? Everybody gets down in the dumps from time to time. But how can I have the true joy and hope and peace and love and grace that we just sang about, my identity in Christ, and always be negative? It just doesn't work real well together, right? And so the constant lack of joy that maybe some of you find yourself in this morning might be due to the fact that you're more full of you than you are full of Jesus. And so I think the Lord has an encouraging word for us today. So we're kicking off this new series called Stories. And basically what we're going to do is while Jesus was on earth, while he walked the earth, Jesus shared so many stories. And he gives these stories to kind of drive home the message. And did you know this, that about 35% of all of Jesus's teachings was stories? It was stories. And what we know these stories are parables, right? We call these stories parables. And let me give you just a common description of what a parable is so you get a better understanding. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So for the next several weeks throughout the summer, we're going to dig into these stories, these parables, for God to speak to us, to encourage us, to challenge us in his truth. And see what he has for us. So if you have your Bible today, go to Mark chapter number 5. We're going to begin in Mark chapter number 5. I'm sorry, chapter number 4. Go to Mark chapter 4. We'll go Mark 5 another day. But many times when we read these stories of Jesus, these parables of Jesus, Jesus was teaching to thousands of people. He was teaching to houses full of people, or hillsides full of people, beaches full of people, because everybody wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. It was very intriguing. It was very interesting. People wanted to know what he was saying. And so in Mark chapter number 4, what we see is Jesus was getting ready to teach all these people, and there were so many people on the shore that he had to go out into a boat. And so Jesus is sitting in a boat because there's so many people on the shore listening to this story that he's going to tell. And so Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 9 is where we're going to read today. So let me ask you to do this. Stand with me and honor the reading of God's word, and we'll read these first 9 verses together, and we'll dig in here. The Bible says this: "Again, he began to teach by the sea, and a very large crowd gathered around him. So he got into a boat on the sea, and he sat down while the whole crowd was by the sea on the shore. Verse 2, he taught them many things in parables, and in his teachings he said to them." Now here it is, verse 3. This is where the story starts. "Listen, consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path. The birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and it grew up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. But when the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it did not produce fruit. Still other seed fell on good ground. It grew up, producing fruit that increased 30, 60, and 100 times. And then he said, let anyone who has ears to hear listen." Would you pray with me? Father, bless the reading of your word. I pray for these next few moments of our lives that the power of your word would just permeate in our hearts. You would just soak it over us, God. Challenge us, encourage us, change us today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. I want to draw your attention to the beginning and the end, kind of the bookends of this first story. There in verse 3, look what he says here. Now let me before we go here, let me say this. I want to encourage you to take some notes today. Even if you're not a note taker, get your phone out. We have a pen there in your seat. You can steal that, all right? You can have that pen if you take some notes with it, all right? A good City Hope pen is always good to have a good pen, right? But I want you to take some notes today, because I think God wants to speak to you this morning. So at the beginning of this story, in verse 3, Jesus uses this one word. He's sitting in a boat, all these people, and he says, "Listen!" Exclamation point. He's like, "I really want you guys to listen to what I'm getting ready to say." And then at the very end in verse 9, look what he says. He says, "Let anyone who has ears to hear listen." So he starts with, "Hey, I need you to listen." And then he ends with, "If you have ears to hear, I need you to listen." Now, think about this for a second. All these people are standing on the shore listening, right? Like, they're there because they want to hear what he has to say. But here's what I think Jesus was really getting at. How many of you ever heard of the term selective hearing? Anybody ever have that? Let me give you an example of what selective hearing looks like. My beautiful, wonderful daughter, Sissy, one of her chores in our house is to take out the garbage. And oftentimes, Shira or myself will have to remind Sissy, "Hey, Sissy, the garbage is up to here. Can you please take out the garbage?" And for some reason, when we ask Sissy to take out the garbage, her ears don't work, right? She has this, "I didn't hear you. I'm so sorry." But it's really crazy how this happens. We'll be eating dinner or something, and Shira will say, "Hey, do you guys want to go get some ice cream after dinner?" And it's miraculous. Sissy's hearing works really, really well during those moments. She's healed, right? It's selective hearing. It's like, wait a minute, I have a tendency. Now let's be honest, all right? Let's all get here. We have a tendency to hear what we want to hear. We have a tendency to go, "Yeah, I like that," or that's not really for me. And I think what Jesus is trying to get across here is he's like, "Listen, I'm getting ready to share something that can change your life. I'm getting ready to share something so powerful that you need to be attentive. You need to listen up because this is the word of God. And Jesus is saying, listen to the words. Listen to what I'm saying because what I'm saying is should affect every part of your life. Listen to what I'm saying because these words that I'm getting ready to teach you are a really, really big deal. Now here's one of the first notes I want you to write down today. Every time that you and I truly listen to God's word, we give him room to do a new work in our lives. When we open up God's word, it's not so we can check off a box and say, man, I did my quiet time today. It's not so that we can say, hey, I'm a good person or I'm a good Christian or I did my duty. Every time you truly listen to God's word, you give him room to do a new work in your life. And here's what I believe. Some of you are here this morning, and that's what you need today. You need a new work in your heart. And we're going to dig into what that means. But I want to just challenge you today. Listen to God's word. So Jesus starts with, all right, everybody, y'all need to lock in. All right, everybody focus, everybody lock in, listen. And then he tells the parable. Now, after he tells the parable, he's with his disciples, and even his disciples are kind of like scratching their head. They're like, what are you talking about? Like sower and seeds and thorns. And so Jesus had to stop, and he had to explain what he was talking. And I think it's there in verse 13. He tells these disciples, hey, listen, if you don't understand this parable, if you don't understand this story, you're not going to get any of the other ones. So he really breaks it down and explains to this parable what's going on. All right. And so in verse 14 here in Mark chapter 4, he starts explaining what he means. And so let's look at this real quick. He says, the sower sows the word. So he's speaking about the word of God. He's saying when the word of God comes into your life, verse 15, some are like the word sown on the path. When they hear, notice how many times, I want you to see this, all throughout this passage, and again, if you're taking notes today, underline every time you see the word hear or listen, look, because Jesus is really trying to get our attention here. Verse 15, some are like the word sown on the path. When they hear the word, immediately Satan comes and take away the word sown in them. Others are like seed sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, immediately they rejoice it with joy. They receive it with joy, and then they have no root, and they're short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, they immediately fall away. Others are like seed sown among thorns, and these are the ones who hear the word, but the worries of this age, the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things enter in and they choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. And those like seed sown on good ground hear the word, welcome it, and produce fruit, 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown. So Jesus is encouraging, he's teaching, but he's also warning. He's giving a warning here to everyone who is listening. And if I can give just kind of this one sentence for you to take away today, I'm gonna give you a lot today, but if you take this one thing away, this is what this parable is really trying to get at in this specific story. It's not about the sower. It's not about the seed. It's not about Satan. It's not about the season of life that they're in. It's all about the soil. It's all about the soil. The seed is the same in every one of these examples. The seed is the same. The seed never changes. The seed stayed the same, but look at this. The results were different. The seed was the same seed getting dropped on all the same exact thing, but the soil was different. So what does that mean? I think the message inside of the story, the message inside of the parable is that the soil is our heart. The soil is your innermost being. It's you, who you really are. And Jesus, what he's doing, he's shining this light on the importance of your heart. What is going on in your heart is a really, really big deal. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else. Why? Because for it is the source of life. Everything that I do can be can be directed back, can be followed to my heart. And so what Jesus does here is he kind of identifies these four different kinds of hearts that he sees in people. Four different types of soil that when the seed drops, this is the soil that is there to receive the seed. And so I want to give you these four types of hearts real quick. And as we do this, again, I want to encourage you, but I also want to challenge you. I'm going to ask you some tough questions here in a minute to take home and to chew on. But I want you to be honest this morning. Don't have selective hearing. Don't have selective believing. This is a time for you to be honest. And what Jesus is sitting here teaching them, he's like, I need you to listen, all right? I really need you to listen because this is a really, really, really big deal. And so the first heart we see is the hard heart. The hard heart. Verse 15, he says, some are like the word sown on the path. When they hear it, immediately Satan comes and he takes away the word that was sown in them. So I brought a path, all right? This is from my yard, all right? And we have a little path out in my backyard. And can you just imagine with me for a second? Jesus is saying the hard heart. Now, if I'm not much of a gardener, a botanist, a harborist, I'm not much of any of those things. But here's what I do know: if I wanted to go out and plant some flowers or plant a tree or plant some kind of a fruit, if I went out and I took the seeds and I put it all on my path, what's going to happen? Nothing. The Bible says that the birds are going to come and they're just going to eat it up and they're going to be full. Think about this. What Jesus is saying is like, for some of us, our heart is so hard. It's like planting seeds on a piece of concrete. When the word comes, it's just, there's no emotion. It's hard-hearted. It's everybody else's fault. That's not for me. And honestly, let's just get real for a minute, right? Usually a person with a hard heart, they've been through some things. They've been through some stuff. They have some trauma. They have some past hurts. They've allowed people or things or situations to make their hard heart, their heart hard. Say that fast a bunch of times, right? And so what happens is when I have a hard heart, the word never truly enters in. The word never truly gets into the soil because it just stops there. Oftentimes, people with a hard heart are intellectually strong. They're wise. They're smart people. And what they do is they think their way through life, right? They think their way. And what happens is oftentimes pride keeps me from receiving God's word when I have a hard heart. And so Jesus says there was seed dropped on the path, but nothing happened. But then he says, number two, the shallow heart. We'll call it the shallow heart. And he says, others are like seed sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, listen to this. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. Yes, I love that song. Yes, church was good today. Yes, you're getting baptized. And then look what happens. But they have no root. It's short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, they immediately fall away. We got rocky soil. Something can grow in there. But the Bible says that when we have this shallow kind of rocky soil, you know, it'll get down in there, but it's not going to take root because it's so shallow. There's not really good, healthy soil under there. And probably what happens is, man, that was good. And man, I really enjoyed that sermon. But then I go home and I start thinking about work and all the stuff that I got going this week. And man, I had a tough week. So, hey, guys, can we just get a little real this morning? Are y'all okay with that? I had a long week. So it's Sunday morning and it's 8:30 and church starts at 9. But there is a 10:30. But you know what? Let's just stay in bed. Is that too close? I'll keep going, okay? When I hear the word and when I spend time with Jesus and when I worship, man, it's good and I love it, but it's all about emotions. It's a shallow heart. There's initial excitement and then it fizzles out. Because when challenges come, I turn my way away from it. I don't stay with the word. I don't stay with the soil that God's. There's no depth. There's no strivings. When the emotions fade, we're out because there's no root. The third heart that we see, I'm going to call this one the distracted heart or the crowded heart. Now, I want to be honest with you. I think this is where most Christians are today. Most American Christians live in this today. Others have, verse 18, others are like seed sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word. Look at this. But the worries of the age, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word. And look at this. Underline this. It becomes unfruitful. It becomes unfruitful. So this is the soil that knows what I should be doing. Got some good down in there, but is so full of stuff, so full of the Bible says, worries of this age, deceitfulness of wealth. And so what happens is the thorn, this is a real thorn. I pricked myself like 6 times this morning getting this. This is real, like thorns are in there, right? And when I try to get down to the, there's weeds in here, right? And man, it's down in there. There's some good soil down in there, but there's some stuff that gets in the way. The Bible says there's some pride in here, and it kind of gets in the way. There's some worry in here. Oh man, my soil is, it's so full of what does he say? Deceitfulness of wealth, my success. I'm all about success, right? I got to grind. I got to provide. I got to go. I got to go. I got to go. And so it gets into my soil again. My finances get in the way. And here's one. If we're just going to be real, right? If we're going to be real, my kids become an idol in my life. And what happens here is the weeds get in the way and the thorns get in the way. And the Bible says it chokes out. It chokes the word, the seed that's supposed to go down in there. And then it gives us that last 3 words. It becomes unfruitful. Unfruitful. And I think so many of us at so many different times in our life, this is us. I got so much going on, and I got this distracted heart, and I got this crowded heart, and all of this plays such a big deal. Here's where we're at, right? We would rather comfortable inspiration over Christ-filled conviction. I want some comfortable inspiration, Pastor Bobby. Like, inspire me, encourage me. You know, don't tell me anything bad. Don't you dare convict me. Don't you dare get into my mail and then start talking about what's going on in my house. I want some comfortable inspiration. And Jesus is saying, hey, you got so much going on, it's so crowded, it's so distracted that the word can't even get in there. Comfort and success and worldly concerns, it chokes out the seed that God's putting down, and it becomes unfruitful. And then the last one, number 4, is the receptive heart. The receptive heart. And those, verse 20, like seed sown on good ground, they hear the word, they welcome it, and they produce fruit. 30, 60, and 100 times what was sown. The receptive heart is characterized here by growth. The receptive heart here is characterized by humility and faithfulness. Y'all, look at my flower. This is from my house. I'm so proud of this. I only have one. Only had one. But this comes from a receptive heart. This is a heart that understands. This is a heart that is humble. This is a heart that is forgiving. This is a soil that is focused on striving after Jesus and loving people and being obedient to who God is. And so for some of you sitting here today, and maybe you're wondering, how do I get here? How do I, you know, maybe you find yourself in one of these others and this is your heart, but how do I get here? Because that's the goal, right? And I think, I really do. I think it's really easy. And I think this is why Jesus is saying, listen, because growth always follows obedience. Growth always follows obedience. When I'm obedient to God's word, to the seed, when I'm obedient to the seed that is being sown into my life, growth will always happen. Now, some of you guys know this. It's not always going to happen on my timing, right? I want a yard full of these right now, all right? But I got one. But if you want to know why you are where you are in your life right now, if you want to know why your life is the way it is right now, I think it's a pretty simple thing. Check your obedience. Check your obedience. What is God calling me to? What kind of person? What kind of a business am I going to run? What kind of parent? What kind of father? Check your obedience. Now, I've explained to you kind of these four different kinds of soil, these four hearts, if you will. But if we step back into this story, I think we see something even bigger here. The whole reason for this story, the whole reason for this parable is what? To produce fruit, to grow, to increase. The whole reason that he's telling this is because at the end he says, you're not going to produce any fruit, and you're not going to produce any fruit, and you're not going to produce any fruit, but if you have this receptive heart, this good, healthy soil, you're going to produce fruit. So the message inside of the message is about producing fruit in your life, to increase, to grow. And my pastor used to say this all the time, and the first couple times I heard it, I was like, what is he talking about? And he always saying this, if you're not growing, you're dying. If you're not growing, you're dying. And I just wonder today, church, when you look at the realness of your heart, not selective hearing, not selective going, yeah, you know, I'm here, but the reality is, you know, let's be honest, most of us are here. Maybe some of you, man, the heart is hard against God today. Same seeds, but completely different results. You know, one thing that, as I was preparing this week, this thought kind of came into my mind is, Jesus is telling this story, and he's talking about the seed being the Word of God, right? And he's talking about this from a spiritual realm, from a following God realm. But I started thinking about it like this, because, you know, this is the goal. We all want to get here and be growing and flourishing and beautiful and have healthy soil. But sometimes I find myself in different ones of these, right, in my relationship with the Lord. And I got to get back, and I got to listen to the Word, and I got to do what he tells me to do so that I can get here. But I started thinking about this week, you know, the reality is different aspects of my life, I have all four of these right now today. There's some people in my life that cause me to have some of this. There's some busyness and some struggles in my different aspects, right? Maybe in my business, or maybe in my relationship with my spouse. Maybe my relationship with my kids looks like this. You know, I'm so worried about pride and success, and then I don't have a lot of time, and I don't spend much time with my spouse, and my relationship isn't the greatest right now. And I can have all four of these at the same time in different aspects of my life. But I know that as Jesus is talking about here, the spiritual realm, this is where it has to start for all of us. This is where it has to start. I think Jesus gives us this because if we get to this place where we have the healthy soil and we're growing and we're increasing and we're producing fruit, then that is going to affect all the other aspects of my life. My relationship with my kids and my spouse and my business and my finances and all of that stuff. So it starts here with my spiritual life. So I want to give you an assignment this week because all of you raised your hand and said you loved homework. All right. I want to put these three questions up. And I want to just challenge you to go home and pray over these three questions. Write them down. Take a picture.
Don't forget.
Be honest. Not selective. Be honest. What type of soil describes my current spiritual state? Right now, today. What kind of soil, what type of soil describes my current spiritual state? What weeds or distractions or thorns need to be picked out of my soil and thrown away? What is in the way right now that I've got to get out of my heart? I've got to get out of my soil so that I can grow, so that I can increase, so that I can produce some fruit. What needs to get pulled from your life? And then the third one, this one's tough. This one's tough. Am I producing any eternal fruit? Here's my fear, is that the church today, we haven't done a good job. We have not done a good job of relaying this message that it's not just our job, those of us who work at churches, to produce fruit. It's not just my job because I have pastor in front of my name. It's all of our job. If you are a follower of Jesus, then he expects you to produce fruit. What kind of eternal fruit are you producing? What a tough question. Let me say this. If you don't like the answer to any of those questions, if you're honest when you get home this week and you're praying through these, if you don't like the answer to any of these questions, then here's what I want you to do. Go back and listen to what the sower is telling you. Go back and listen to what the sower says. Not what you think, not what Bobby thinks. Go back and listen to what the sower says. Let him sow the seeds of his word. I ask you just to bow your heads and close your eyes this morning. And I believe with all of my heart that the Lord is speaking to some of you here this morning. And so let me just ask you, what kind of relationship, personal relationship, do you have with the Lord right now? Is he Lord and Savior over your life? In this story, he's the sower. He's the one sowing the seed, the word of God. What kind of relationship do you have with the sower? Is it personal? Is it intimate? Is it between you and him? If it's not, you can have that today. For many of us in here, the reality is we need to repent. We need to ask God to forgive us because of what our soil has become. And right now, I want to just encourage you, spend time with Jesus. Right now in this moment. Maybe for some of you today, you've realized and God's opened up your eyes to some things that you're not producing fruit. The Bible says that a tree will be known by its fruit. And yeah, you go to church and pray before meals. You're a good person. You try to do some good things. But the reality is, you're not producing fruit. Maybe God's calling you to your next step today. Whatever that is, we're here to help. Whatever that looks like, it's time to start producing, church. May we not be soil of consumers. May we not be a church full of consumers, but we're producers because we're chasing after Jesus. We're growing. We're increasing. We're producing. Whatever Jesus is speaking to your heart about today, please hear my words. You don't have to go at it alone. We are here to help. Stop by after the service. We have a prayer room where people will pray with you and take God's word and show you. Our pastors will be here. Whatever you need. God's speaking to some of us today. Don't have selective hearing. Listen to what he's saying. It's time to get the soil right. It's time to get the heart in the right place, the healthy place. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning. We thank you for this parable. We thank you for your word, the seed that you sow into our lives. And I pray today that we would be a people who respond. That we would not just be hearers of your word, we would be doers of your word. We would not just say, man, that was good, and we go on with our week, but God, we would let it just permeate into our hearts and into the soil of our lives, and it would change us. If there's one here today that does not have a personal relationship with the sower, God, I pray that today would be the day of salvation. Today would be a day of new identity, of a new heart, of new soil. Lord, I pray for those of us in here who needed to be reminded, who need to repent of where our soil is, of where our heart is. Our heart has been chasing the wrong things, and today we come back to chase you. Oh God, use this story, this parable, this unbelievable truth to change our lives. Help us to apply it, live it out, be the men and women that you've called us to be. Thank you, guys.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you, and have a wonderful day.